Sir.
Thank you, Senator, Co-Chairman, members of the committee. I intended to come. My name is Brad Moulton. I reside down in Cape Nettic, Maine. And I had information about the meeting today, and I was coming up fully prepared to be strongly in opposition to the governor's original proposal. And I've been co-opted, perhaps happily so. I would like, for purposes of the information of the committee, to pass out my brief prepared remarks, but I would like to depart from them to make some brief comments, which I think may be appropriate to where this committee is at this time. And actually, I have a lead-in, courtesy of Representative Haskell, because as several of the committee members may be aware of, since I'm not formally of this committee, I was formally of the State and Local Government Committee, which helped sponsor the work of the CAC committee. And as a member of that committee, I would sit in on several of the meetings. In fact, for those dedicated public officials behind me, I'm acquainted with many of them, particularly the sheriffs, county commissioners, and what have you. And in making that reference to the CAC report, I think one of the things that I saw falling through the cracks in this exchange of barrages over who's running what and at what cost to whom, I think that this committee needs to pay attention to the fact that there were several important concerns, particularly with the focus on the jails, that the committee should carry forward in reviewing the compromise proposal. Specifically, in the area of detention before trial, the initial screening process and setting of bail, particularly with bail commissioners, since I was formerly one. And the related part of this is a concern on the county level because the length of stay for detainees has increased, the average length of stay. And the sheriffs were looking at that particular problem from the standpoint that if they could reduce the average length of stay, there would be fewer people in the jails. Hence, with the expanding jail population on the county level, if there are fewer people in there for less or shorter periods, then their overcrowding would be alleviated. Secondly, that in terms of probation revocation, which has loomed large in the percentage of people ending up back in those same jails, it was a finding of the CAC report, which no doubt Representative Haskell will be glad to share with the committee, having gone through that same, how many pages was that report that you and I were reading this weekend?
44,
I seem to remember that. That there needs to be a change in the way that that is handled, in that there are people ending up back in the jails that really shouldn't be because of technical violations of conditions of probation. And in fact, the whole structure of probation may need to be reviewed, particularly in combination with the third point, and this is the last of my points, that the idea of a split sentence apparently is failing in its intended purpose. Because the purpose of corrections for all those of us that had to withstand such courses back in college and graduate school is not only protection of society, but also to reduce recidivism and provide some form of rehabilitation for those that have to go through the system, both victims as well as perpetrators. And that is, if there is a change in the way that sentencing is treated, then it may lead to a further reduction of those people that really shouldn't be there in the first place, to restore them to society as well as to rehabilitate them so that they don't break into my car on a Friday night, as some young people did fairly recently, or attempted to. I was chasing him down the street. That wasn't a very smart thing, was it, Representative Greeley? But the idea of doing some reform with the split sentences would be appropriate also to address the problem of taking up bed space, because as the state needs to absorb some of that excess capacity, which the counties have been so diligent about creating at the moment, that further work on at least the jail portion of it, or what I call the jail portion of it, the shorter sentences, the detention process, is really a focus that cannot be neglected. And I'm afraid that with all of the conversations that I've picked up through the media, that this committee needs to make sure that that interest that was expressed through the dedicated work of all of the participants in the CAC report, or is reflected in the CAC report, goes forward and is implemented along with the other broader changes that have been described to this committee this morning. So I just wanted to emphasize those things. I'm glad that my opposition to the governor's proposal seems to be of no need at this point, because I just saw it as a losing proposition for all involved, and I would be happy to answer any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Mr. Moulton. We appreciate you being here today. Are there questions from the committee? Representative Greeley.
Thank you, Senator. Thank you. Excuse me, Brad, for being here. I have a question. I'm not sure if it's really apropos or not, but certainly in your experience as an attorney and a former legislator, the probation thing, you've got me thinking a little bit. I read that on average, roughly two out of every three people, roughly 66% of people that are released from prison reoffend within the first 3 years. So roughly two out of every three people in prison currently that are released will reoffend and be returned, incarcerated once again within three years of being released. How do you think that statistic nationally plays into your thoughts and concerns about the probation situation in Maine?
Well, again, I draw upon the findings of the CAC report, because one of the emphases of that report, as well as the Department of Corrections currently, is that you use an educated report of approach to things. I think they call it evidence-based. And I think what they were finding out, which, you know, some of us know anyway, is that there are a group of people that may commit offense, usually property offenses, which once they get into the system won't go back to recidivism, as might be the case with somebody that has a drug-related offense, where they just totally lost control, and the moment they're back out on the street again, they're going to commit a similar type of offense to pay for the fix or what have you. And in those cases where you concentrate on screening through these people to keep the ones out of jail that aren't going to be coming back because their recidivism rate is lower, then you can focus upon the ones that need to stay there, because the moment they hit the streets, they're going to be recommitting a crime. So I think in response to your question, I think Maine is somewhat in a unique position, being, forgive me, I'm 12th generation, so I have no apologies, but we're a backwater state. And, you know, for me, I like it that way, because I think that to address, you know, this problem we share with the rest of the country, but to a lesser extent on the violent crime level, we have a lot of people that end up there, that if we do a better job of getting them to focus on what brought them there and why they shouldn't come back, then they won't come back. I know it's a generalized response to your question, but I will again point out that it was the CAC, it was within the CAC report itself that they actually identify those categories where the recidivism rate is less, and for that reason, those type of people that fit within that framework would be the ones that should be the focus of something other than just keeping them locked up in the hoose gap.
Thank you. Further questions from the committee? Senator Sherman?
Thank you. Brad, welcome back. I appreciate your service on the local government committee. I just, because of the county you're from, BRAC might mean something to you, your county, and I wonder if listening to, just in general, they talk about a BRAC-like commission, I wonder if you have any quick cautions about how something like that should be structured, or way too early, I'm sure, but I won't be back for the other work committee. So.
No, I still have to make a living. I've still got a kid in college, but he graduates in May, and after that, all bets are off. But I think in response to your question, Senator, I think that my outlook is tied in with the counties. I think it reflects my former committee assignment that, you know, to me, the county level of government does perform valuable services. One of them, in the case of the jails, is just being a repository that's convenient for people that need to be detained prior to trial, along with the other functions with which the county jails provide. The idea of a super corrections agency or a committee charged with the function of overseeing that, I have no specific objection to, as long as, you know, it doesn't emphasize some things more than others. I think in my case, the principal reason for my objecting to the governor's proposal initially was just simply the fact that they've run out of bed space on the state level. So since all these counties have been building new jails, why not take their bed space? That's an example of an emphasis on the warehousing part of it that I think was misplaced and emphasized too greatly. So I think in specific response to your question, I think it has to do with the priorities. There are numerous priorities within the fields of corrections. And I think that having an appropriate balance, since it is going to be a partnership between the state as well as the counties, and perhaps even some municipal representation, since we're talking about my tax dollars and the municipalities being concerned with the overlay, that may be the appropriate response to your question, that it's going to have to be a balance with no one side being able to lord it over the others, which I think was another principal objection to the governor's proposal.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Further questions to Mr. Moulton? Seeing none, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Others who would like to make comments?